I told Terry the other day, I have never preached a sermon on prejudice. So I want to talk to us for a few moments this morning about prejudice. Now, the word prejudice is defined by dictionary.com as an unfavorable opinion or feeling formed beforehand or without knowledge, thought, or reason. Number two, any preconceived opinion or feeling, either favorable or unfavorable. Number three, unreasonable feelings, opinions, or attitudes, especially of a hostile nature, regarding a racial, religious, or national group. When we hear the word prejudice, other words come to mind. Animosity, bigotry, chauvinism, segregation, discrimination, narrow-mindedness, racism, favoritism, or personal favoritism, and on the list goes. And all of the ideas put forth by these words, let me say, are directly opposite to what we would call the Christian spirit. The idea of prejudice is opposed to what Christ taught insofar as the way we should live our lives. And being prejudiced should be something that the child of God should avoid at all costs. Because our prejudice is always directed towards a person or a group of people. And one thing is for certain, God created man. When you look at another human being, you're looking at the product of God the Creator. And God loves His creation. He loves every individual. He is made in the image of God, and God loves him. And so should we. Clearly, prejudice and prejudices have led to many horrible things in our world. This morning, I want us to note three. I want us to think about three things that prejudice leads to. In the first place, I want us to note that prejudice leads to hatred. When you're prejudiced against someone, you're led eventually to hate that individual. You know, we'd have to be blind to history and to present day events to not see how prejudice has instigated some of the most heinous and hateful and base transgressions in the lives of men. The days of segregation weren't that long ago. I can remember as a small child in the small town where I grew up in, even living through and experiencing some of the after effects of that. There's the KKK clan who are bigoted against the blacks. There are associations and clans of blacks who are bigoted against the whites. And again, heinous crimes have been perpetrated against fellow humans because of this hatred that is stirred up by prejudice. Think about that word, prejudge. You judge people before. That's what the word means. Before what? Before you have any knowledge of the individual, before you know them, you know their character, you know what kind of person they are, you just look at their skin color, or you look at their hair color, and you prejudge. And you have all this animosity, and all this bigotry, and all this hatred toward this individual that you have never even met or spoken to. Simply because of the color of their skin or their nationality. To judge people based solely on the color of their skin is both ignorant and cruel. I know God looks upon the heart. Isn't that what He told Samuel? Somebody once said that employers should be colorblind. I believe Christians ought to be colorblind. People are people, right? We might as well be prejudiced against people based on the color of their eyes or the color of their hair. Because whether it's skin color or hair color or eye color, they're all based on the same thing, genetic codes. It's just a fact. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17, and notice an interesting statement that the Apostle Paul made here in his sermon. Let's just begin in verse 24 and go down to verse 26 of Acts 17. Paul speaking here says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now that is a very interesting statement. He has made from one blood every nation of man. I was having an interesting discussion with a Christian a few years back, and he told me that Cain got his wife from some other people that God created on another part of the earth, separate and apart from Adam and Eve. And I thought, well, that is not in the Bible. He said, well, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. I said, Eve, the very name means the mother of all living. God created Adam and Eve, and from Adam and Eve sprang everyone you see here this morning and everyone in the world of one blood. Now, we don't have time to go into the genetic facts that we now know that causes all the different, eventually causes all the different colorations of eyes and skin and hair and so forth and the physical differences. But God has made us all from one blood. Over in the book of James, chapter 4, in verses 9 and 10, James makes an interesting statement here as well. Go back to chapter 3. I don't know why I put 4. It's James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, with it, and he's talking about the mouth, the tongue, he says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. He tells us here that man is made in the image of God. And essentially what he's saying here is that when you curse man, you curse man's maker. Because he said it's hypocritical to bless God out of one corner of our mouth and to curse man out of the other corner, who is made in the similitude of God. There's a song that we sometimes teach our children that goes red and yellow, black and white, Jesus loves them all alike. And oh, that we could all believe that and live that, and do away with the atrocities that are brought upon mankind due to prejudice. Due to prejudice, acts of violence and hatred have been stirred up in the workplace. We've seen them in the community. We've seen them in public places of business, in politics, in churches, in schools. Prejudice leads to hatred of our fellow man. And Jesus condemned hatred of fellow man, didn't he? Even if we don't commit any atrocities against them, it is a sin just to hate them. I mean, that's what the Lord taught there in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 26. You've heard that it was said, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder will be in danger of judgment. But Jesus goes on to say, it goes deeper than that. I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and I would say prejudice would be without a cause. You look at a man you never met and you're angry at him just because of his skin color. Shall be in danger of judgment, and whoever says to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And he goes on talking about this. But the fact is, Jesus is saying murder begins in the heart. Murder begins with anger. It begins with hatred of your fellow man. over in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 9 to 11, John speaks of hatred toward our brethren in Christ. And he says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness unto now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Next chapter, 1 John 3, verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You see that? You know what he says? That hatred is just as much a sin as murder is. That's what he means by that. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Again, according to James 4, verse 9 to 11, all men are made in the similitude of God. If we hate man, we are manifesting hatred toward the Creator of man. Prejudice is a dangerous thing. It leads to hatred. Number two, obviously, prejudice leads to harm. Now, prejudice leads to harm in many ways and in many areas of life. Now, we've already made mention of the fact that prejudice leads to and has led to and is leading to many cruel acts of violence toward our fellow man. But there may be some areas in which prejudice leads to harm that maybe we haven't really given serious consideration to. Perhaps that we need to be made aware of, or at least to think about. For example, prejudice can lead to great harm in family life within the family. For example, when a parent shows more love and attention to one child over to the other, that is, shows personal favoritism or partiality, or he is prejudiced towards one over the other, this can lead to great harm in the family unit. Remember Jacob? Remember Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3 to 11? Where it talks about Israel's great love for Joseph. Now, Jacob loved all his children. No one denies that. But it tells us here in Genesis 37, beginning verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And then it gives the reason why and so forth. But it tells us he loved Joseph more than his other children, and he manifested that in actions, the coat of many colors, the special treatment, and so forth. What do his brothers think about that? Well, we can just read a little bit here, verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. You see that? It caused them to hate him and caused them to not speak peaceably to them. It's causing harm within that family, isn't it? Now, we love to talk about Joseph. Joseph was really a national hero. The story of Joseph is a wonderful story. How he was sold into slavery into Egypt, and then he was mistreated in Potiphar's house and thrown in the prison, and finally he was brought out and lifted up. And he really saved Egypt and the rest of the world from the great 7-year famine. But why was he ever sold in slavery? Why did he have to have his wrist and his legs bound? Why was he ever cast into prison? Why all those dark days for Joseph? Because his brothers hated him. Why? Because the father showed more love toward him than he did the rest of them. I tell you, prejudice can lead to harm within the family unit. We need to be careful. It can cause harm and disruption in the church, can't it? We talk about the Judaizers. Now, in the first century, there were two main segregations of people, generally speaking. There were the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, Christ came to die on the cross for both Jews and Gentiles, that is, for the whole world. And so after the church was began in Acts chapter 2, people began to obey the gospel, mainly of the Jews, and then later Peter preached to the household of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and they obeyed the gospel. And then from then on, Gentiles began to become part of the gospel. And then Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, started traveling all over the world and starting churches, and people were being saved who were Gentiles. And ultimately and inevitably, there were churches that were kind of mixed between converted Jews and converted Gentiles. Now, the converted Jews, those who were Jews all their life, but now converted and became Christians, they still had some prejudice against the Gentiles who were becoming Christians. And they were trying to bind the law of Moses on them. For example, in Acts 15:1, it said some of them came there up from Jerusalem teaching that unless one is circumcised, he cannot be saved. That's the Judaizers. And that statement, that teaching was directly against the Gentiles. And basically they're telling these Gentile Christians, if you really want to be a son of God, if you really want to be saved, you have to be physically circumcised. Now Paul, we're told, and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. Because that was wrong, wasn't it? What'd Paul say over in Galatians 3? Verses 26 to 28. And so far as in the church, he said, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he says in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And there were a lot of mixed races and different races that were parts of the same church in some places. And what's Paul say about that? He said, make this race sit in the balcony, make the other race sit on this side, and the other race on that. No, he said, you're all one in Christ Jesus. Between the Jew and Gentile, he spoke in the book of Ephesians about how Christ broke down the middle wall of partition, bringing them together as one. We're one. We're united in Christ. And there should be no partiality and no prejudice in the Lord's church. Remember what happened in Galatians 2, or at least as recorded in Galatians 2? Let's just read a few verses here. Galatians 2, beginning verse 11. Paul is writing here, and he says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. So we know that there's a problem here. Paul had to confront Peter to his face about something because he was to be blamed. Verse 12 says, here's the reason. For certain men came from James. Before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Now here's what was going on. Peter's there in this church where he's a member, and he'll go out to eat dinner or whatever, supper, with Gentile people. And that was fine. Everything's okay. Peter himself had made the strong argument back in the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 that God has accepted them. Peter was the one whom God had given the vision of the sheep with all the unclean animals, telling him to rise and eat. And the whole lesson there was God has accepted the Gentiles just as well as the Jews. There's no prejudice. And so Peter, he'd go out and he'd eat with them. But something happened. Some folks would come up from James, those who are Judaizers, those who are prejudiced against the Gentiles. And when they come up, Peter was afraid of them. So he, when they were there, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And what'd Paul say? Paul said that was wrong. He was to be blamed. And it led to other problems and disruptions in the church. Look, it says, verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Well, let's talk about how he confronted him, how he rebuked him. How we're hypocrites when we compel the Gentiles to live as Jews in verse 14. We're all one in Christ, Paul says in the next chapter. Bring that today, you know, especially in our society with the those who are called whites and those who are referred to as blacks. There's great animosity there in a lot of ways still in this nation. But it shouldn't be so in the church, not among the Lord's people. People's people, we're all one in Christ Jesus. It can cause trouble not only in the family and in the church, but just in the community and in social relationships. Let's go back to James 2 and verse 1 to 9. I really wanted to look at this again while we was talking about the trouble that prejudice causes in the church. So let's go back to James This is a key passage that we really ought to look at now. James says here, as Brad read a moment ago, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Talking about prejudice here. "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there, or sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Now here's basically what was happening. Two men would walk through that door, and we've never set eyes on either one of them. We don't know the men. We don't know their character, what they're like. But we can see from the way they look that one of them's wealthy and the other one is dead broke. And so we come up to the rich, clean, looking, "Oh, how you doing? So good to see you." And out of the corner of our eye, we're looking over at this dirty, filthy guy that's come in, standing over in the corner. We invite the rich man, "Come on in, come on up here and sit. Here's a nice seat for you, sit right here." Then we go back and we talk to others, and finally we look over at that filthy guy and he said, "Well, there, you know, we can pull you a chair up back here in the foyer to sit," or... We don't know that guy. We didn't know the rich guy. We're just judging based on what they on appearance, right? From all appearances, he's rich, he's poor, so let's act accordingly. James says that is not acting accordingly. You are showing partiality. Look at verse 5. "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Now Mark 6:1-6. And this is Mark's account of Jesus' rejection in his own hometown. We're told that Jesus had went back to Nazareth where he grew up and he began to preach and teach, but they rejected him. You know why? Because they watched him grow up from a little boy. Ain't that little Jesus just running around here not that long ago? Who's he to start telling me what to do and what I ought to do and ought not to do? That kind of thing. Jesus responded in verse 4, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." And verse 6 says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief, and then he went about the villages teaching in a circle." Look at verse 3, the very last statement. "So they were offended at him." Remember John chapter 1 verses 45 and 46 when the good man went to Nathanael and told him, "Hey, we found the Christ." What did Nathanael say? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He was already prejudging Jesus simply because of where he was from. It can make us deny the Lord, can't we? In John chapter 4 and verse 9, remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? She made a very interesting statement to Jesus here. She said, it says, "The woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" The truth of the matter is, the Jews called them dogs. Why? Because they are what? In today's terminology, people would call half-breeds. You see, when Assyria came in and began to capture Israel, the northern part, and carry them off, they didn't carry all of them off. They left a lot of them there and then brought people from other nations to come in and intermarriage with them. That was part of Assyria's policy, to kind of just dissolve the whole race of people. And the Jews despised them for that, something they couldn't even help. And it caused a lot of social unrest and social problems. Prejudice leads to hatred for no reason. Hating without cause, the Lord said there. Prejudice leads to harm obviously, the manifestation of hatred. And finally, very quickly, prejudice leads to hell. Let's just say it. Let's just be blunt. And if this hasn't already become clear to us throughout the course of this lesson, let's make it crystal clear in this point. If you harbor prejudice in your heart against your fellow man based upon skin color or age or nationality or social status or financial status or even gender, if you don't repent of this and purge the prejudice from your heart, you will lose your soul in eternal hell. Remember what James said there in James 2, 8, and 9? That if you do this, the law condemns you. And the law of Christ, the law of liberty condemns you. Because it violates the commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Which was reinstated in the New Testament, in the New Law. First John chapter 9, verse 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. We looked at it a moment ago. He who hates, or he who says is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness unto now. Well, being in darkness means you're lost. Verse 11, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Well, in chapter 1, he said if you want to be saved, you have to walk in the light. But if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness. You're lost. Being prejudiced leads to hatred, and that doesn't make one walk in the light and destined for heaven. It causes him to walk in darkness and destined for eternal punishment. Listen, if I had no other incentive to not be prejudiced, this one would be enough. I don't want to go to hell. The Bible shows some terrible pictures of hell. It's a horrible prospect. In Matthew 22, verse 13, Jesus mentioned that it's a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He also mentions there that it will be a place of outer darkness. In Matthew 8, 12, he had referred to it as a place of outer darkness. In Mark chapter 9, verses 43 and 44, we're told that it's a place where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. That means when you're cast in there, you're not just going to be burned up, disintegrated, and cease to exist. You're going to exist forever and ever and ever in this unquenchable fire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, where Paul pictures the Lord being revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction, it says, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This is a place of eternal destruction. And prejudice will get you a ticket right in. You know, I've run across a lot of people in my life, more than I would like to say, who are prejudiced. Many of them members of the church. They're prejudiced. And it's almost as if they're proud of that. You ought to be ashamed of it. And you ought to repent of it because it's going to lead you to eternal hell. And if we think that prejudice causes hatred and harm in this life, just wait until the afterlife. When those who are prejudiced will be cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Let us never forget the perverted nature of prejudice, nor the horrible nature of hell. Prejudice. It's alive and well in our society, but let's not be influenced by it. Let's overcome it, because prejudice is dangerous. It can lead to hatred, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus gave an interesting command there in Matthew 5:44. He said, love your enemies. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Prejudice leads to hatred. Prejudice leads to harm. And prejudice ultimately leads to hell. Let's pray.